I'm Terry Griffith, and I'm here with my co-host Dee Boghetti, and we're Bark Radio. So Dee, what do we got on the agenda for today?
Well, I want to talk to folks about that big, huge decision that they make in their lives, that it's time to get a dog, whether it's a puppy or an adult dog. Some folks choose a dog like they choose a bunch of bananas.
Or shoes.
Yeah, they put no more thought into it than that. Yeah. And we're talking about a long-term family member. And so I just want to talk to the folks about some things they can think about before they choose a dog. For one thing, think about your family. Do you have little kids? Do you have teenagers? Are you an entirely adult household? Are you a one-person household? What is your lifestyle like? Do you have a very busy lifestyle? Are you away from home for hours and hours and hours every day? Do you like to do things in the outdoors? Are you a couch potato? All of those things can help determine, if you think about them, what kind of dog to get. There are dogs who are very happy being a couch potato with people. Mm-hmm. But there are other dogs who, if you ask them to be that, nobody in that house is going to be happy.
I have a couple of those.
No kidding. Yes. Kind of, that's one particular kind of dog. Think herding dogs.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have a sedentary lifestyle and you don't want to get into any sports with your dogs or take your dogs hiking or anything, oh, please don't get a border collie. Don't get a cattle dog. Don't get any of those breeds. They need something to do. They need committed human beings. So, you know, now, if you live, for example, in the city, I'm going to give you two breeds. A Jack Russell, a Great Dane. Which one's better in the city?
I would go with the Great Dane.
Smart aleck.
Because I know how much energy Jack Russells have, and they're a hunting dog.
They are. Whenever I meet a Jack Russell who is being a typical insane Jack Russell, because I will tell you guys, one of them could keep up with Surrey. They're fast, they're bouncy, they need things to do. Every time I meet one and that dog is new in the home of someone, say, over 60 years old, I know without even asking, that person watched Frasier on TV and thought Eddie was the cutest little dog in the world, and I think I want one. Oi, that is not a reason to buy a dog. Do not get a breed because it just, like, won best in show or because you see it in a movie. No. Those are actors in those movies and those TV shows. Those dogs are trained within an inch of their little lives. Believe me, unless you are a trainer, you don't want an Eddie in your house. Okay.
High energy little dogs.
Oh, yes, they are. Usually meet you at the door bouncing about 10 feet in the air. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, the thing about kids. Remember, if you get a puppy, that puppy is going to think your little children are litter mates. How sharp are puppy teeth? How sharp are puppy claws?
And how whiny are your kids?
That's right. And it's like, how many 2-3-year-olds out there are going to be like squealing and running and going, we've got a puppy. And that puppy's going to be running right behind them and nipping at their legs and pulling on their clothes and getting in all kinds of trouble. It can really and truly be a disaster, folks, if you don't think it through and really commit to what's involved in the first year of a puppy's life, because it's huge and you can't ignore them because they will destroy your flipping house. Mm-hmm. They will get themselves in 14 different kinds of trouble in about 7 minutes. So if you have little kids, you might want to think about getting an adult dog.
Yeah, that's what I was just actually thinking. Even mm-hmm. in the city too, because if you get a 6-7-year-old dog, mm-hmm. even if it's a high energy breed, they're starting to wind
they're
down into their senior years a
right.
little bit.
Well, and just think, I mean, there are all kinds, if you're into specific breeds, you don't want a mixed breed, again, those breed rescue groups. You know, get yourself a 3-year-old golden retriever whose family got divorced and they couldn't decide who'd take the dog, so they gave the dog up for adoption. You know, that sort of dog in a family unit with little kids, first of all, the rescue group is going to know the dog's temperament. So they're going to know if it's the right temperament for a growing family. So just keep that kind of thing in mind. There are all kinds of alternatives other than those cute little puppies. And, you know, on another show, we will talk about specifically puppies typically come home at 8 weeks, come home with their new people at 8 weeks. And we'll talk about the time frame from that to 6 months. Because it's a very, very important time in a puppy's life, and we'll cover that on another show. Okay. Let's say someone in your house is really allergic to dogs, but you still want a dog.
Mm-hmm.
What are your options?
The only one that really comes to mind, well, there's two things. Let me rephrase that. One, I've always heard that poodles are a hyperallergenic
yes.
breed, whatever they call that. The other thing I would think of is a shorter haired dog. I don't know if that's true.
Well, that you. This is really cool because one is true, two is false. Poodles do not shed. They are probably the best breed for people with allergies. Now, there are a couple of designer dogs who are a portion poodle who might also work. Those are mutts called labradoodles and golden doodles. Yeah.
So if I mix two registered breeds, don't I end up with a mutt?
Well, in our society, seriously, those mutts are called designer dogs and they cost a flipping fortune. What up, people?
So I'm going to go off sideways just a second because I've always had a dog I wanted to breed, and that's a Shar Pei and a Bull Terrier. And I would call it a dink wrinkle.
Oh, I love it!
Sorry if I offended anybody. That has been a running joke with a couple of friends for 20 years.
You're kidding.
No,
you were designing dogs before it became popular.
Imagine what that dog's going to look like.
Oh, my God.
It's
going to
look like a sausage with wrinkles.
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
I'm not sure how that happened. At any rate.
Bringing it back around. Here we go. Serious subject.
Yes, bringing it back around. Short-haired dogs shed less. Wrong. I have 2 Labrador Retrievers. If I vacuumed 3 times a day, I couldn't keep the dog hair out of my house. I got the biggest, baddest vacuum cleaner I could buy. They shed year-round. And the only difference between them and like a Newfoundland is it is shorter hair that's falling on everything you own. And it's a crack up. When you put something in my washer and then put it in the dryer in the lint return,
it's all hair.
It's all dog hair.
No.
So, yeah, don't come to my house unless you really like dogs. So, yeah, they're picking the right dog for an allergic family member is number one on the list. And then there are a few things you can do within your home to make life better. If need be, have a dog room. That dog room will have no carpet. Having a place where that's the only place the dog hangs out with you guys keeps that dog hair, dog dander lessened in the rest of the house. It's not the best solution, but it's a solution, especially if you have a room that you're willing to give over to dog stuff. Let's see. The units that we use to clean the air in our homes, I don't know what special units there are. I don't know what they cost, but I know they exist. Things that will filter the air better for you if you've got dog hair, dog dander in it. So, you know, if you've got an allergic person, don't give up on getting a dog, but figure out how best to have that dog.
Yeah, realize there might be other things you have to do. I mean, I have allergies to dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I have 2. Dogs are too important to me to give up. It's not severe allergies,
right.
But it's enough that I'm always a little bit stuffy around the dogs, and I have to keep
keep them clean.
Mm-hmm. And that's key also, keeping them clean, yeah.
But I went to the allergist, and he's like, well, you have dog dander allergies. You need to get rid of your dogs. That ain't going to freaking happen.
Well, and there you have the bottom line on it, folks, you know. It's like,
I can be sniffly.
Yeah, if you're a dog geek, you're going to do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I've got hand dermatitis, and I know that one of the things that exacerbates that is petting a dog. I'm a dog trainer. Do you think I give a flipping care if I have hand dermatitis? I'll live with it. You know? Yeah. It's worth having hands on dogs, you know?
There's too much pluses to it. In the relaxation, the pleasure. It for me, the dogs bring me into the now. It keeps me focused on that moment in time. And that's hard for me to do based on what I do for a living.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really important time to me. That's not worth giving up.
Well, it's true. And, you know, this morning as I awoke in the wee hours going, what are we going to do dog-wise today? Who was lying next to me and who did I give a big hug to before we even turned the lights on at 4 a.m.? Murphy. He's going, yo, Mom, what are we doing today? And he's stretching and, you know, there is just no better thing in this whole wide world than that. They wake up every day of their lives happy to see you. Does anybody else? Probably not. So, yeah, you just got to weigh things and determine if a dog is right for you. One of the things that your entire family needs to think about is what is entailed in having a dog. They're expensive, or can be. You don't just bring a dog in and plunk them in your house. Well, you can do that, but in a year or so, you're going to call somebody like me and go, help! This dog is completely out of control. Or, like far too many people, you're going to dump your dog. One thing that happens to too many folks is they get a puppy, they do not take the dog to obedience classes, they just plunk the dog down in their homes, and they survive the first 6 months, which means the dog is now out of that teething stage, so is no longer chewing everything up in the house. They think everything is peachy. Fast forward a couple months, and now that dog is an adolescent. Adolescents, folks, are worse than puppies. They will get into more, they'll pretend they don't know a word you're saying to them, and that age, between 9 months and say a year and a half, is the age in which more dogs get turned into rescue groups than any other age.
I did not know that.
Yeah. It's just really sad because people don't understand what they're seeing. They think they've got a stupid dog, they think they've got the worst dog in the world, they think that this can't be fixed. If they had gotten into an obedience class early on and had a good trainer, that trainer would have informed them, this is what you can expect. I can't tell you how many people I've worked with from puppyhood through adulthood with their dogs in classroom settings, and there is nothing like having a class of 6 dogs and 5 of them are adolescents. It's a hoot, because the pet parents come in every week with a new story of what the dog just ate. And
I was in that list.
Have at it.
With Missouri. You've been with us since pretty much day one. Mm-hmm. Well, a little past day one.
Oh, that's right. She was.
Yeah, we've been in every freaking class you've done. Pretty much. And we repeated a couple because we wanted to make sure. You know, the thing is with us, because I'm a real strong believer that there's no bad dogs, there's only bad owners.
I agree.
And it's about getting the right mindset and trying to educate yourself so you can learn how to handle the dog. And so many people don't get it.
They don't. And my thing about classroom is, you know, you can't take one obedience class with your dog and that's going to take care of everything that you need to know forever. So it's ridiculous. Take as many as you can from different trainers, as often as you can. There was a time when Murphy was under 6 months old where we were in 2 obedience classes at the same time, different trainers, different days of the week. Because I wanted him, this is about socializing, it's about, you know, different style trainers, it's just about me getting out there and working my dog on leash. It's hugely important. Every dog owner needs to do it. And I have no idea where we started this conversation, but I was like, uh-oh, where am I going?
I took us down a rabbit hole.
Woo! It did. But, okay, we were talking about adolescence.
Adolescence.
Yeah. Quick story. The day that Murphy went into adolescence, I knew without a shadow of a doubt that that's what had happened. He was right around 9 months old. I lived in the country. My backyard was fenced in and pretty much attached to the house so the dogs could go in and out of the back door at will. I heard the door open, wasn't paying a bit of attention, had the cordless phone in my ear, got off my phone call about a minute and a half later, looked out my back window, and it looked forever like someone had plucked a snow goose in my backyard because Murphy had grabbed one of my bed pillows and that quickly had flown out the back door and shredded it. The boy was having a party. And my dog trainer brain went, ruh-roh. He's an adolescent. Oh, we have
company.
Here
comes Sparkmeister. Hey, Sparky, buddy.
Hey, Sparky.
What are you doing, huh?
Okay, so on we go with, you've got a new puppy in the house. Again, remember that your child is a puppy too, to that pup. And stop.
Yeah,
you've got to take that out. You've got to take that out. Alrighty, now let's talk about what you need to have at your house before you pick up your dog.
What do I need?
Well, here's the thing. What you do not need is to be carrying your new dog into a pet store the day that you get him, going, what kind of food should I feed him?
I've seen that person.
Oh, honey. What's a crate?
Yeah.
Should I get a leash for him? Oy vey. No. People, what you need to do is make the list and check it twice. You need to determine what things do you have to have in your home for your dog before you pick up your dog. You need a crate, a leash, a collar, a food and water dish, dog food, and some appropriate toys for your dog's age and size. Now, dog food.
Incoming.
The worst thing that you can do is, hello, Surrey. There went the table, and there went Surrey. The worst thing you can do is bring a new dog home and change that dog's food from what they've been eating, whether they're a puppy or an adult dog. Why? Because you may well have a doggy with an upset tummy. So hang on 1 second, folks. I'm saying hello to Miss Surrey here. She's all happy in from the outside.
She just came in from the into the studio.
Yes, she's a happy girl. And now she's okay. you don't want your dogs to have a tummy ache, so what you do is gradually give your dog the new food. And so find out from the breeder or the rescue group what they've been feeding. Make sure you have some of that on hand to feed them at the beginning because, you know, new place, new people, they're going to be excited. They need their regular food. So start them off on their regular food and then gradually change it if you choose to. Start with a quarter new food, three quarters old food, and go from there. Within a week, maybe two, you'll have your dog switched to whatever food you want them on.
The one thing on the on the puppies especially, because when we brought Surrey home, we did that. Mm-hmm. But she had a rash on her belly from the food, and it was a gluten reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went to a limited ingredient and diet. Try that again. Limited ingredient.
Ingredient.
That's it. Limited ingredient diet. Wow. Food. It was gluten-free. It was just mostly proteins. Had that type of stuff. And it cleared it up instantly.
Well, Terry, great point. That happened with Murphy when he was a pup, and he was getting adolescent acne on his chin, and then he was getting a little bit of a rash on his belly. And my country vet at the time suggested that I do just what you did. Get him on a food that has no beef, no corn, nothing, no gluten, no additives, no filler, no nothing. And this happens to be a venison dry food. And turns out, just like your dog, Murphy's not had a rash since. So consider that, folks. If your dog is having skin problems or if they're having stomach issues, the first thing to try and the easiest thing to try is changing their food.
Yeah, and there's several good ones out there.
Oh, yeah,
and
absolutely.
It's more and more common. You're seeing a lot of gluten-free products in general.
Mm-hmm.
Treats and everything else.
Read
so
labels.
Read the labels. It's really important.
Yep, very important. One quick bit about crates. personally, when I buy a crate for a new dog, I buy the wire version, and I buy the version of that that will fit my dog when my dog is an adult, which means it will have enough room for, in my case, a 90-pound dog to go in and lie down when they're an adult. What you can get is the version of wire crate that has a divider in it, because, and you can use that and keep moving it back as the puppy grows into the crate. The reason that you don't want a huge crate with a small dog is the crate is their den, and you want them to use it as a bedroom, not as a bathroom.
Oh,
and
point.
With the big crate and little dog, they might have a tendency to sleep in one end and pee and poo in the other. So that's my bit on crates.
That's an excellent point. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah. Remember, too, that we all love to buy toys for our dogs, but most of the toys out there, you need to be in the room with the dog when the dog's playing with the toy. Why? Because they can ingest something and choke to death. They can require surgery to get it out of their belly. Think plush toys with squeakers,
yeah.
You know?
Sparky loves to remove the squeaker,
mm-hmm.
and if we weren't there, he would eat it.
He would ingest it. Yeah, not good, not good, not good. Enough of that plastic gets in there, there could be a problem.
Yeah.
It might not come out the other end. Same thing with rope toys. They can get
strings.
They can shred them and ingest pieces of that string they're made with. So just be very watchful of your dog until your dog is an adult. And I personally never leave anything with my dogs when I'm not around that could conceivably hurt them, because even adult dogs have squirrely days and go, I've never eaten one of these before. Let me try it today. Oh, and in that vein, this very morning, my new water sandals. Well, they got munched on. Whenever I hear silence in my house, I go find my dogs.
No good can come from it.
Never. Murphy was in his favorite spot by the sliding glass doors going, oh, Mom, you got new sandals. They're yummy. They have leather on them. So it can happen with all dogs.
I'm glad it's not just me.
Oh, no. It's every dog owner on the planet. And I will tell you, if your dog doesn't do that kind of stuff, I'd worry. Normal dogs just get into stuff. You know, you just have to be forever watchful. Okay. One of the other things to think about with a new dog is, what are you going to do with said dog when you go on vacation? If you have an out-of-town family emergency. Think about that ahead of time. Do you have someone who you can trust to watch your dog in your own home? Do you have a local facility where you can board your dog? If you think you might ever board your dog, what you need to do before you ever actually board your dog for a day or a week or a month or whatever, you need to take your dog there for a visit. You need to take your dog for half a day of daycare, and then maybe a full day of daycare, and then one overnight stay before you actually board them, because many dogs take to anywhere and it's fine, not a problem. Some dogs, it's going to freak out. Some dogs who've never ever spent any time away from home are going to go, okay, what did I do wrong? They're leaving me forever. And there's nothing sadder than seeing a dog picked up after a week of your fabulous vacation at the beach, and your dog is cowering and afraid and cloying and all over you and is like, don't ever leave me again. Wait till the next time you take your dog to board. It's not going to be a happy thing, because your dog is not even going to want to walk in the door. So just be mindful of those sorts of things. We all have to leave sometime, even though I would love to take my dog everywhere. Dogs everywhere, I can't.
The other thing with that I want to just chime in on is not only for your dog to get adjusted, but they do an evaluation as well, and that's important to get that out of the way first.
Yep.
But make sure that you tour the facilities, because you want to make sure that it's safe.
They're not all created equal.
Exactly. And right. We're fortunate where we live, there's a couple of really good facilities.
Yes.
And the one where we board our dogs at, we know the lady since she's opened, and it's just, I mean, it's a stellar place.
Mm-hmm.
Not every area has that.
Right.
So it's a little bit different. And now with Sparky, we haven't tried to do that overnight thing.
Right.
But we have somebody that's a dog sitter.
Oh, see, that's the other option, which is fabulous, man. If you've got a dog sitter, and lots of places have them these days,
yeah.
It's one other form of dog professional.
Yeah.
Get a dog sitter. Get somebody who We'll give you referrals. You want to be able to talk to people who, you know, this person has done some dog sitting for. But that can be a fabulous alternative. Yep. That way your dogs get to stay in their own home.
Exactly.
While you're away.
Exactly. And we used that when Aussie was getting older. We had
the dog sitter.
Because it was just, she'd go up for a little bit up to the daycare place, mm-hmm. but
it was too much for her at the end.
Much, yeah.
That's
much.
Great, man. So know that those alternatives exist, folks. And truly, think about it before you get the dog, not when you're getting ready to leave town for 2 weeks. Well, Terry, anything else you can think of? That's about it for me for today.
No, I think we've kind of covered it. We that was a pretty big event, right? We just went through, so.
Right.
I mean, that's a lot of stuff.
Yeah. So, folks, you know, if you have any questions about your dog's behavior, contact a dog professional, either a trainer or a behaviorist, and they will aim you in the right direction. Just remember, the world has changed dramatically in the last 2 decades. Dog professionals exist where none did in the past, and even trainers like me, I mean, I'm not going to take on huge behavior problems, but the little ones I can handle. If your dog's a little bit fearful or a little bit anything, you know, oftentimes we can work with you, and it's just a matter of some obedience skills and getting some self-confidence built in your dog. So, new age, use us. That's what we're here for.
All right, folks. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
That was a good one, I think.